That, ladies and gentlemen, is Ravi Shankar. It's fair to say he's the world's most famous sitar player, and he has just died at the age of 92. He had many famous students, particularly in Western music, George Harrison among them. He influenced, well, players, jazz players as legendary as John Coltrane, so much that he has left behind. And to discuss it, we thought, well, isn't it fortuitous? We have a Global Groove segment today, and Jonathan Alley has come in to discuss exactly what it was that he has left behind for us and what his contribution has been. Thank you very much for coming in.
Look, absolute pleasure.
I know 92, in some ways it's expected, but it's still a sad day, isn't it?
It's extremely sad. It's one of those things that comes along in life, and Ravi Shankar knew, obviously, as we all do, that he would pass away eventually. He'd billed several tours in the last couple of years as goodbye tours. His tour of Australia in 2010 with his daughter Anushka was billed as Goodbye Australia. Nonetheless, as you say, the legacy is so vast. And when you listen to the music, as we've just been hearing, and I've been listening to it all afternoon, there is something so indefinably wondrous and vast and beautiful about his playing that is almost indefinable. And I think that's the reason so many of us have continued to go back to it and continue to go to the shows and continue to listen to the records, read the books, and so forth over the past decades.
And his impact on Western music as well.
Enormous. And there's a certain irony to it. George Harrison christened him the godfather of world music, which I'm sure is very well-intentioned because George Harrison was an enormous advocate of Ravi Shankar's. But the irony in that to me is that really what Ravi Shankar did was a pure form of Indian classical music.
And he was quite staunch about that.
Absolutely.
In fact, he was upset at the suggestion that people would come in stoned to his gigs rather than appreciating what it was he was doing.
Well, that's correct. I was reading this quote from The Guardian this afternoon, which I'll read you. He, of course, famously played the Monterey and Woodstock pop festivals and was quite widely associated after his association with the Beatles and the Byrds. With the hippie movement, but he was really disdainful of it. He said, "I was extremely unhappy with the superficiality of it all, especially the wrong information that Dr. Timothy Leary and others were propagating, that everyone in India takes drugs. It was a hodgepodge of Kama Sutra, Tantra, Yoga, Hash and LSD, while the true spiritual quality of our music was almost completely lost." Having said that, he reached out to the West in many ways for his entire life. In 1990, he collaborated with Philip Glass on a piece of music called Passages. In the 70s, he continued to tour with George Harrison and collaborate with him. George was, in the mid-90s, as late as the mid-90s, the editor of his second autobiography. He was someone who I think took people as he saw them and judged them on the sincerity of their interest.
And but he didn't lose his roots. This is the thing, that you can't accuse him of being a sellout. And I know in
India, not.
There were people who thought that he'd kind of destroyed the classical art form, but he himself was actually adamant that, no, I'm getting more and more traditional as I go along.
I think very much so, because he felt the need to preserve it, and he saw the potential danger of his music kind of being, well, hijacked a little bit by a movement, as he'd done in the late 60s, and it taken away from his kind of sphere of influence and sort of owned, if you will, by other people. And after that happened, he really did draw away from the hippie movement, as I said earlier. What's really fascinating about him to me, though, is the sort of the vastness of his history. I mean, he first started studying the sitar in 1938.
Wow.
When India was still under the British Raj. He was touring with his brother in the Hindu Company of Dance and Music by the age of 13. So that's by 1933, before World War II. He was already performing professionally. He was a radio man too. He was, in the 50s, after he spent a lot of time, it's funny, you were talking about Egyptian film just now, he did a lot of composition for the 50s Bollywood film movement. And then in the second half of the 50s, he was the musical director of All India Radio in New Delhi.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So he really was a very well-regarded person before anybody in the West had heard of him through his association with George Harrison and then the rock movement. And later on, he was a passionate advocate for India. He was a politician. He sat in a body called the Rajya Sabha, which is the upper house of the Indian Parliament, and was nominated by Rajiv Gandhi. So really, what we don't understand, I mean, you know, we know him as a sitar player, but in India, he was a broad cultural figure of their society, and really that nation will be in mourning for one of its truly greatest sons today.
Yeah, and they should be. And he touched so many nations. We mentioned Western music. He'd done some Japanese collaborations. I mean, just it's so vast what he's done. And I'll tell you what, some of his pieces were quite vast. We're going to dip into one now, but I'm looking at my screen and it goes for 27 minutes. So we probably aren't going to get to all of it, but tell us what we're about to hear.
We're going to listen to the Raga Raja Samaja by Ravi Shankar and Ali Akbar Khan. Ali Akbar Khan was the son of Aluddin Khan, who was the original teacher of Ravi Shankar. Mm. So there's a beautiful symmetry there.
Yeah, and the one who told him he had to shape up.
That's
which
right.
Which was a really interesting episode in his life. Thank you so much for coming in and responding to the news and doing it so quickly for us. I really appreciate it, Jonathan. It's
pleasure.
Great to have you in. Jonathan Ellie, channeling Sister BB there, our correspondent for Global Grooves today. Let's remember Ravi Shankar. Thank you.